Don's here. Don's here.
Hi, Don. It's Scott Carley here.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I'm well. It's a lot of material.
Yeah. My brain is way full.
Well, we're also preparing for the clean review camp next week, so.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah. I got a teacher workshop next week myself.
Oh, we are busy folks.
Hi, this is Tamara.
Hi, Tamara.
So I was quite upset and shocked to hear about Stephen Schneider's death.
Oh. Yeah. That was amazing. Just on a plane flight, apparently, from Sweden.
Yeah. You know, I worked with him in the late 70s and early 80s when I was a graduate student.
Oh, wow.
He was a champion of climate change then, and a lot of what I ended up doing was impacted by Steve.
Yeah.
And then I got to see him again after the... I mean, he was basically one of the initial promoters of the IPCC process.
Yes.
And so I saw him at the AGU meeting when they were having the big celebration about them getting the Nobel Prize and everything. And it was just so great to see him again. I hadn't seen him in quite a while. And he's a co-convener of a session at AGU in December, and I was going to submit an abstract to his session.
Yeah.
So I want to suggest that they possibly dedicate it to him.
Right. I agree. I mean, I have a couple of his books, and certainly remember seeing him at AGU. Very impressive.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but he has a book out called Climate, a Full Contact Sport, or something like that.
Oh, good. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it was... I'll pull up the exact title, because it's pretty... pretty appropriate.
Yeah.
So I hope we're going to have more than three.
I know Mark is going to be calling in.
It's Joel from Berkeley.
Oh, there's
Joel.
Hi.
Hey, Scott, what do you think the chances of getting gradients into the frameworks is?
That would be good, wouldn't it, if we could actually bring some depth to this?
I mean, the energy stuff is pretty much just like, you know, same old, same old.
It's old school. It's very old school.
Here's the title of his book. Science is a Contact Sport, The Inside Battle to Save the Earth's Climate.
Great.
So, yeah, that's Steve in a nutshell.
Yeah. Wow, it's really hard to lose folks like that. Oof.
Yeah. Anyway, I know Mark is going to call in, and what Mark and I talked about this about a half an hour ago, or maybe an hour.
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
Hi, Mark.
Perfect.
And Karen Holwick's with me as well.
Oh, good.
Oh, hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Alan Gould out here in Berkeley.
What's Al?
Hi, Alan.
Sarah Maisie is here, too, in Eugene, although my phone is kind of screwed up, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to stay on the call.
Bye.
So we have Sarah Maisie and Karen Holweg, Mark McCaffrey, and Scott Carley. And, okay, who am I missing now?
Don's here.
Don,
hi. Yeah, Joel in Berkeley. Have you said me already?
Joel?
Yeah.
Bora Simmons.
Hi, this is Joe Witte from George Mason's Center for Climate Communication. Thanks for letting me...
What's your first name again? What's your first name
Joe,
again?
Joe, J-O-E.
Okay,
last
Joe.
W-I-T-T-E.
Okay. I'm typing names in here. Okay, so Mark sent out his notes, and I posted them actually on the agenda. If people didn't get them, you can go to the agenda of the web at the website, and the notes are posted there. Mark had suggested that we focus on looking at this particular section of the framework just as a way of focusing on Chapter 7. What I didn't realize at the time, Mark, is because I started looking at things after we talked, was they actually outline all of these high-level concepts in Chapter 3,
yes.
The core ideas in Earth and space science.
Right.
And there's a couple of things, I mean, these other things get into the more the nitty-gritty, but I'm a little concerned that just some high-level, just the way they say things has misconceptions built right in. And what the piece that bothers me the most is a lot of these things talk about the Earth's surface. The Earth's surface is continually changing, and the Earth's surface is carried through multiple ones of these core ideas. Earth system science doesn't appear. Mark, in your list of words, you did a word count on. You didn't do systems, but I didn't know if you just forgot about that or what, but they don't get at the fact that this is a system at all.
Right.
Yeah.
And that concerns me a lot.
255 uses of the word systems.
255, yeah. Ryan, what about Earth system?
Good question. I think it's giving me Earth and system together, so I need to put it in quotes here.
Yeah.
Four.
Four?
Okay.
Yeah. Boy, that surprises me. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so now it would be interesting for us to find where those are, but I don't want to...
I can tell you in lickety-split if you want me to.
Oh, really? Okay.
Sure, yeah. Page PDF. These are PDF page numbers. I'll give the both. The PDF page number is 43 at the bottom, and that's the document 3-9. Do you want to just look at them real quick, one by one, or should I rattle off?
Yeah, let's do that. So 43.
Yeah, PDF page 43, and it's document 3-9 at the bottom.
Okay, so Earth surface system. It's in the phrase Earth surface system. But you said Earth.
Weather
climate are regulated by complex interactions among components of the Earth system and change over varying time scales. Well, that's good. That's seven. That's lines 7 and 8.
Oh, then it's showing up more than. You found Earth apostrophe S system. I was looking at Earth systems down at the bottom of the page.
Right.
Okay.
So down it's this, line 22.
Right. 22 and 23.
Yeah, I didn't search for Earth apostrophe S system. Let me do that. And it tells me it's not found, though I'm looking at it.
maybe these capitals, I don't know. It's maybe case sensitive.
It's not. It's weird. Cut and paste it.
I was in line 7 to 8. Earth system, yes.
You know, my thought was that we could really focus on the Chapter 7, which is the actual framework, and then go back to look at some of the nuances in the other chapters 3 and 4 in particular.
But Mark, aren't the things in Chapter 7 sort of an outgrowth of the high-level concepts listed in Chapters 3?
Although... Don, maybe you can talk more about how they, whether they are and how they are. since you were
well,
part of the...
Well, I was, yeah, I was surprised when I first opened up the document. I jumped to Chapter 3 to read the stuff and thought it was sort of a much smaller version than I expected it to be, and then I found our stuff, the main stuff that we had done on the design team is actually what's in Chapter 7 for that those diagrams.
So, Don, do you have a sense of whether our focusing, it's time constraints, we're not going to be able
right.
to address this comprehensively. That's clear.
That's right. That's right.
So, do you have a sense of what might be the best strategy in terms of whether we go to Chapter 7 and sort of address the individual issues as Mark has identified them, or more high-level concepts?
I think the NRC committee would most value two, my, and this is gut response, this isn't based on anything that anybody's told me, but two kinds of things. One is if there's misconceptions that are showing up anywhere in the document, they'd want to know about that and get them the hell out of there. And the second is the sort of big idea, the really big ideas, the core ideas, and the general structure of the approach. And that means, for one thing, paying attention to the fact that they have, what do they call them, strands, three strands?
Four strands.
Not core ideas, dimensions, three dimensions is the word
right.
I'm looking for. So, you know, the dimension one is the core disciplinary ideas. Dimension two is the cross-cutting elements, and dimension three is the scientific and engineering practices. And it, as I was looking at this, at the document writ large, or trying to, and I haven't had the time to give it the anywhere near the time to give it the read I hoped by today, it seemed to me that a concern about focusing on the core ideas misses some of that larger structure that I think is really important. And in a way to think about it is if we look at the core ideas, that what that kind of does is I'm afraid the common, what I see as a common problem of people thinking that a scientifically literate person has 25% of their scientific understanding in life science, 25% in earth and space science, 25% in physical science, and 25% in engineering and technology. And the way I see a scientifically literate person is that they've got something like 50% of their understanding in each of those four areas, which, of course, the math doesn't work out because of the importance of understanding the cross-cutting elements, which is the second dimension. And so I guess I worry a little bit about over-focusing on the individual pieces and not being attentive to the integration of the pieces. But I also don't really know how to provide the feedback on the integration of the pieces, if that makes
yeah.
any sense.
Well, again, I've not been able to spend the time that I would like to go over this in the detail, and I was aware that they had these different dimensions, but
yeah.
I actually didn't really think about that structure at all, because actually it took me some time to figure out that they had two different areas that address Earth and space science.
Right, right.
Chapter
yeah,
3.
I had that too, and I was involved in writing the thing. Which I probably shouldn't say aloud.
Well, you know what they need? They need an executive summary.
Yes.
But of course, this is just a draft, and so it's,
that's
I
right,
can't complain
right.
too much yeah. With respect to that. Well, I guess the one piece that I feel strongly about is this issue of Earth system science. Is that
yeah.
by, that's a high-level concept that cuts across a number of the core ideas, because it's meant it's just reinforced over and over again, these things are happening at the surface. Well, they're just not just happening at the surface. And interactions, sometimes, some of the interactions don't even involve the surface at all.
Right.
And so I think that we need to address that to, we need to address that to some extent. And Mark, I know you went carefully through chapter 7. Were there large pieces that you felt were missing or were misrepresented?
From my point of view, there were some missed opportunities, like the fact that the carbon cycle is just not well represented at all. It's only mentioned once in the whole document here. And to me, you know, as I mentioned in my notes, helping people understand the sort of the closing the loop in people's understanding of carbon and climate and energy consumption and so forth is very crucial. And it's just, you know, it's there if you look for it, but it's not really as fully integrated as it could be from my point of view.
Should it be represented as one of these high-level concepts? I mean, I doubt that we can add a concept, but...
Well, there is a section on global climate change, and maybe we could focus on that one in particular. That's on whatever it is.
This is
well, here's
also
one
another
thought.
Opportunity here, the ESS core idea, too. Earth is a complex and dynamic... 4.6 billion year old system of rock, water, air, and life. But that's not how this. That's not been developed very well. I mean, there's the opportunity to really talk about the Earth system, but it's not being framed that way. It's basically saying here are the components, but not talking about it as a system, as far as I can tell.
Yeah. I pushed for that, by the way.
Good.
You push for that?
Yeah.
There's the opportunity. It's right.
I pushed for that idea to be labeled something more like the Earth as a system of systems. And,
which one is that? It's ESS 2.
Core idea 2. It's on
three,
page.
Yeah. Two. Yeah.
Well, both 2 right. and 3, I think, could
right,
be
yeah. right. It was
tweaked. I think either 2 or 3 could be tweaked to bring in more attention to carbon cycle issues. So core idea 2 is that the Earth is a complex and dynamic 4.6 billion year old system of rock, water, air, and life. And core idea 3 is Earth's surface continually changes from the cycling of water and rock driven by sunlight and gravity. And it seems to me that one or the other of those could perhaps be tweaked to bring in carbon cycling.
Yeah, I mean, clearly...
The nature of the tweets would be different in the two places.
And core ID3 is clearly too restricted. That's really biased, quite frankly, to just focus on surface
basically,
content.
Basically, this is just the surface.
Yeah,
is that what you mean, Todd?
Ocean impacts, there's also... And obviously, we're talking about atmospheric impacts here, too. They're all related to all those cycles. So
if you go down to the sub ES core idea 3 A B C and D,
right? There's the role of water.
What regulates weather and climate, and D is how does life interact with the Earth's other systems?
Right.
So, what page are you guys on? I'm lost here.
We're on page 43 of PDF 3-9.
Yep.
Yeah, oh. Okay, so we're in two different places, actually.
Why do we
I'm looking at the same kind of stuff in the 140s.
142, 143, that area is also...
Yeah, so again, I just think for our process today, why don't we go through Chapter 7 and then backtrack? Because
okay.
Obviously there's, as we've pointed out here, some very large missing pieces in this front section. But I think overall in Chapter 7, the framework looks pretty good, and I'm not sure whether, in fact, the framework in Chapter 7 was informed by these other chapters. I think from my take on it, it looks like they were more added on later, but they don't really do a good job of fully synthesizing what's in Chapter 7.
Yeah, the design teams were primarily doing the work of what ended up in Chapter 7, and the committee wrote the rest of the document.
Right.
Okay. I'm all right moving on to Chapter 7. The one major thing that I think we need to say, though, with respect to an overarching concept is that Earth system science or Earth systems needs to be up front, not just Earth surface over and over again.
Right.
But
yeah.
And we can say that somehow, but we can move on to Chapter 7.
Yeah, no, let's by all means go back, or maybe a subgroup of us today could read through very carefully those chapters 3 and 4 in mm-hmm. particular. But my concern is that we could get bogged down into trying to wordsmith these other things and miss the opportunity to really look at Chapter 7 and where the actual framework is.
Well, Mark,
okay, so Mark you've... go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say, I want to just reiterate that Chapter 7 is supposed to be a prototype learning progression. So this is something, scope and sequence is another term for that. This is intended, I would believe, is an expansion of the core ideas. So
yeah, I think that's
accurate. The reason why it's there is really the progressions from in the the grade band.
And my sense My sense is that the detailed bits of the standards will come as much from Chapter 7 as anywhere else. Though at the same time I say that, my hope is that anybody who's teaching a course about X, Y, or Z will look at X, Y, or Z and the stuff in Chapter 7 and figure that that's something like a half the weight of what they should do put into their planning process, and that Chapter 4 is most of the other half, and then depending on what the course is, the relevance of Chapter 5 varies.
Right.
So Chapter 4, again, is the cross-cutting elements, and Chapter 5 is science, technology, and society kind of stuff, although I don't remember what they labeled it as, and I haven't read the chapter.
Yeah, there's some of that in 4 also.
In terms of content standards, it's really Chapter 7.
Right.
The standards will emerge out of that, most likely.
I agree.
Right.
All right, so Mark, you have a long list of pieces that you thought we should look at that is longer than we could possibly address in this conversation. So you want to focus us on particular ones?
Well, let's start on page 139. And this is Earth history, how old is Earth, and timing and so forth. And there's really not a lot of focus on climate here, although they do talk about rhythmic climate changes that can be measured by tree rings and sedimentary records. And I'm not 100% comfortable with that rhythmic, because sometimes
the climate changes,
they're abrupt.
Which one is that in? I was kind of scanning for that, but I didn't quite see it, Mark. Where is it? Which grade level?
In the lower left corner, I believe.
Yeah, grades 9 through
12. Yeah, grades 9 through 12. And the whole thing about radioactive isotopes and so forth. And then, let's see, where is
rhythmic.
Yeah, that's a strange word. I've never heard that used in that context. And that suggests an underlying mechanism that's fairly simple. That's how I would read it.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing it is.
So I think that's problematic.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a word I would want to take out.
I think that because there are, we were actually talking about this a little bit earlier today with regard to vocabulary for the Clean Collection. And because there's cycles of climate change, but then climate change within a particular cycle, there can be, don't want to call it abrupt change, but not necessarily considering it a part of a cycle. It might ultimately on a much longer scale be part of a cycle, but when you move from an ice age to an interglacial, that's a major climate change. It may be part of a 100,000-year cycle, but it can be considered in both contexts. So I agree, the word rhythmic there is very odd.
Yeah, so I think our recommendation is to get rid of rhythmic and maybe...
Hold on 1 second. This is Alan Gould. The focus, as I read it on this paragraph, is dating methods. The key is they're looking at tree rings. What are the tools that we have for dating and determining the age of things? And so they're looking at radioactive isotopes and rocks, tree rings, and the weird climate changes are not going to help you in dating methods. It's the rhythmic ones, which are the actual things that will help in dating, and that's the context of that sentence.
Yeah, I think you're right. Thank you, Alan.
Would the word cyclic be better there?
Yeah, I would go better with that.
People just don't use rhythmic. It's not a orchestra.
Yeah.
I would. If the context really does need to be cycles, then I would change it to cyclic.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
And there's one other one that, just as I was looking at this page, for grades K to 2, it doesn't necessarily have to do with climate change, but it talks about fossils, and it says, however, fossils are made up from things that were once living, usually long before there were people. The fossils themselves weren't once living. They were replaced. The things that were living were replaced by minerals that were never living. And I don't know how to... I just think that could lead to a misconception.
Absolutely. Even at K-12.
They weren't once living.
Where are you? Where are you reading that?
Grade K-2.
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 On page 139.
Well, anyway, that's just...
To as a result of... might work.
Yeah, it's just some
there's some wording there that'd be better.
Yeah.
It doesn't say they're made of things that were once living.
Yeah.
It says they're made from things that were once living.
Right.
Which is not...
And that may be fuzzy enough that at the K-2 level that's okay.
Yeah.
So I remember that's when a lot of kids are really into dinosaurs and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
all right,
okay.
Well, I'll just note it here for now. I didn't want to distract things too long, but I was just bothering me earlier.
Yeah. Why don't we move on to the next page, which is the role of water in the Earth's surface processes. And, of course, it's not just the surface.
Right.
They do talk about how does water affect Earth's systems.
This is on page 140?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this is, what I noticed here is that there's zero mention of climate here. And yet, hydroclimatic variability and so forth is a very important part of those Earth's surface processes. And I guess they are, in this case, just focusing on weathering and those surface processes. Talking about, maybe not.
This looks, to me, a lot of some of these things look like this. Somebody who's really into rocks and weathering wrote some of it, and then others who have a bigger picture wrote other pieces of it.
Yeah, they're focusing
a lot. Your idea three is really focused on rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that changed more than some of the other ideas after it got out of the hands of the committee or the design team, and I don't know.
Okay.
How or why?
Well,
I remember.
Did the design team provide the information that's in these set of boxes?
Yeah, it was different. It was actually in tables. It's kind of interesting how they put it into these boxes.
Okay.
I guess it makes it fit more. They're able to better fiddle with the sizes of things and make them fit.
Well, actually, this is interesting. This core idea 3A, the role of water in the Earth's surface processes, and then the sub-question is how do the properties and movements of water affect Earth's systems? So there's another place where Earth systems is.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, and Karen was
just sort of buried in the sub-question.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
exactly.
But the
Karen
sub-question is relatively high up in terms of things. I mean, that you know, there's only a few sub-questions per core idea, and there's only four core ideas for Earth system science. So those sub-questions are, I think, really pretty big headings or whatever you want to call them in the grand scheme of things.
Okay, the one, this is Alan again, the one major flaw I see that is in the core idea statement itself, the top-level core idea, Earth's surface continually changes from cycling of water, rock, and rock driven by sunlight and gravity, is that, I mean, there's an implicit in the cycling of water, something to do with air, but there needs to be an explicit statement of air or atmosphere. Because this, the way it's stated, doesn't include a weathering, erosion by wind, for instance,
yeah,
which is a fundamental way that the Earth's surface changes. I don't have a real serious problem with focusing on the Earth's surface, because that's where we live. But atmosphere really does have to play into this. So I think that a rewording of the actual top-level idea,
yeah,
might be necessary, because all the few pages following actually derive from that, and they should all point towards something. And if atmosphere is missing from that top level idea, then that's a serious flaw.
Yeah, here
I agree with you. And what about the idea that this 3A, the role of water in the Earth's surface processes? Would people be comfortable with changing that to the role of water in the Earth's processes, taking out the word surface?
Yeah, and we should also get rid of rock from that top level and just say materials or something like that.
Yeah, well, here again, but you know, not to promote myself too much here or whatever, but what I had suggested was, the flow of energy drives the cycling of matter, and I think the reason that wasn't what we ended up with is because it was too much, it wasn't Earth-specific enough or something like that. So that cousin of that idea, a close cousin of that idea, is in Chapter 4 about the energy and matter flows and cycles, or something like that. I don't remember exactly how it's phrased. So bringing to bear the idea of cycling of matter and energy and flow of matter, or flow of energy and cycling of matter, to this core idea, wedding it with the cross-cutting element in Chapter 4, I think is intended to get to some of that stuff, but in my view, it's a little of an uneven road or something like that.
I agree with you, Don. This is Karen, and I think for core idea 3 to be the big overarching idea, it needs to say the cycling of water and materials driven by sunlight and gravity. And clearly, in the early grades, instead of materials, you're going to be focusing on rocks. But that needs to be brought out in those boxes, those white boxes below, and the overarching big core idea needs to talk about materials, not just rock.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ironies of grades 9 and 12 is they do talk about the ocean and ocean processes, and I know that there's other people from the ocean community that are going to be dissecting this whole document themselves, because they're not entirely happy either. But obviously the ocean goes way beyond the Earth's surface.
Right.
Right, and then the cycling of water, I mean, we've mentioned that air should be mentioned, but also the ocean should. I mean, I don't know how water is the ocean, so, but we're talking about two different things.
Yeah,
but ocean is mentioned. ocean in the lower left there? How does the ocean
even up in grade K2?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I don't know how we've sort of made a number of suggestions for words that need to be changed or incorporated into this the high level core concept, core idea 3, but I really don't have a sentence that actually captures what people think needs to be there.
So
I don't know if you need to right now, but I just want to right now I have that there should be an explicit mention of atmosphere and air, and separately that the cycling of water and materials rather than just the cycling of water should be stated.
Yep.
Well, and let's plan to use the website to refine some of the language here. I would like to move forward so that we make sure we have time to get into the
okay.
global climate change one, which is a few pages down the line here. But,
okay, so go ahead. What's the next
right?
one?
Yeah,
go ahead.
And we will set up a website, right?
What we can do is we have a discussion space, and we can use that, or I would prefer not to explicitly use the telecon agenda because that'll get too big. But we do have the discussion space, which is linked right from the telecon agenda.
Okay. All right. So
the other thing we could do once we have a draft here of what we might want to put together, we could use that as the base for a Google Doc where everybody could edit it.
Okay.
So there's a number of avenues, but let's try to just get the discussion out and something on paper in quotes to start with.
Right. Okay. So
go ahead, Mark. What's the next
on one? Page 141, it's again very geology-oriented, and there is mention of interactions of Earth's climate and plate tectonic systems, and they allude to abrupt climate change in there. But I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time on this particular page. My suggestion is we move forward on to page 142, Weather and Climate,
right.
which is, of course, very relevant. And there's a lot of misconceptions that people have of the difference between weather and climate. So why don't we take some time on this one, you know, starting with the sub-question and then the walk-through grades, you know, K2, 3, 5, 6, 8, et cetera. And then the next page goes on to 9-12.
Okay.
I have one comment about the... You know, it's a little confusing because they do mention plate tectonic systems here, but most of the dealing with plate tectonics is in an earlier, like is in number two, you know, dealing with the age of the Earth and stuff like that. But since they mention it here, it's a little bit out of place, actually, because in the overall, if it is to be dealt with here, then the overall formulation of the the over formulation of the top level thing is again flawed because the interactions at the Earth's surface, you know, plate tectonic systems are not driven by the sun or gravity.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not the major thing that drives plate in fact that first sentence is wrong.
Boy, that's
climate and
plate
tectonic systems are dominated by the It's not. The tectonic systems are
Where is plate tectonics mentioned here?
Under 9-12,
40.
The last section.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I jumped forward. And is that Joe making the comment?
No, this is Alan Gould.
Back on page 140, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not keeping up with the conversation.
I was on 143. 141.
Page 141, how do Earth systems interact? The first sentence under that subheading.
That's a very good...
is wrong, I mean, and when it comes to plate tectonics.
So this is page 141?
141, the last section, how do Earth's surface systems interact? And again, I don't have problems with the use of the term Earth's surface. But those systems are affected by other systems of the Earth. And in particular, plate tectonics are not driven by any of these things, including the ones mentioned in the top level.
Right.
Water,
okay, so basically
gravity,
the
or sunlight.
The first sentence is wrong, and it doesn't match at all with the high-level core concept, right?
Right.
Yeah, internal heat processes.
Yeah, it's radioactive. I mean, it's
exactly
radioactive.
That's the major driving force in the Earth.
Yeah.
The rest of
that, and that's brought out, I think, in two, but not
here.
Yeah.
Okay, so Alan, can you maybe try to tackle that page, whether or not it needs to be just.
Well, I'm still stuck on that top level thing. I think it's seriously flawed.
Yeah.
I think some real thought has to be given to the core idea 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not really hitting it.
No, it's not.
I totally agree.
My overall thing is that this is amazingly good document. I mean, this is going to end up being far better than what we have.
Yeah.
For the past 15 years. So, and it's appropriate to get picky at this time, but it's also appropriate to tackle these top-level things if they're really not quite there.
Well, let me ask again, the flow of energy drives the cycling of matter is a big idea, a core idea work for folks.
I think that's a lot better than what we've got here.
And actually, I did have a problem with saying water and matter, or matter and water, because water is matter.
So, Don, what was the sentence you had again?
The flow of energy drives the cycling of matter. In the Earth system.
You're suggesting that be
core idea three. Yeah.
Say
that again. The flow of energy drives.
The flow of energy
drives the cycling of matter.
Yeah.
In the Earth system.
In the Earth system.
In the Earth system.
Or you could flip it and start with in the Earth system just to get up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could say in the Earth system, the flow of energy.
Yeah, I like that suggestion.
Okay, good. So that would be much better than what we've got here. All right, so can we move on to page 142, with weather and climate? And, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Weather and climate, yeah.
Yeah. We're all on the same page here.
I have a problem with the sub-question.
Okay, so go ahead, Karen.
I have a problem with regulates as a verb there instead of what drives or drives and regulates weather and climate.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the new core idea that we just drafted.
Right.
Yeah, I'm happy with just drives. I don't know why regulate, because it...
Well, and regulate makes it sound like an equilibrium system.
Yeah.
And it's not. Clearly an open system.
Okay, so what drives weather and climate?
Yeah.
Oh, regulated by... then we'll have to change the next sentence down there. Regulated by complex interactions. Some of that looks almost like out of the essential principles, though, huh?
That's fine.
We say that in here.
Yeah, I think actually regulates or regulated works better in the follow-up to the sub-question than it does in the sub-question.
Well, I kind of like, I would prefer weather and climate are shaped by complex interactions. I mean, I've used that term a lot, and I think that it sort of captures it because it's much more general. It allows for that kind of...
Yeah.
We do use regulated in essential principle number 2, but why don't we use shaped here?
Yeah.
Okay, how about at the K2 level? How's that looking?
Thank you.
I would I would change sun to sunlight perhaps, but other than that it's pretty good.
Yeah, good point.
Because I prefer to capitalize sun if we use the word sun, because that's our star, it's the name of our star.
Now in these, do they really want more generic? I mean, more common words as opposed to more scientific words? Like you would say sunlight, but I would say solar radiation.
Oh, we definitely want to use common words here.
Yeah.
Hey.
I think it needs to be readable.
So let's say light.
Yeah,
you broke up a little there, Mark. I didn't quite catch what you said.
Notice that sun is capitalized right in the first line under 6-8, so there needs to be consistency even.
Yeah. I think.
But here, it's the sunlight and wind, etc.
Right.
That's good.
Not talking about sun, you know, as the weather is being affected by the gravitational field of the sun. So, you know,
right.
There.
Okay, how about at the 3 to 5 level?
Tamara, are you documenting these things, or how are we?
Yes, I'm taking notes. But we've decided Mark and I are both taking notes, and anybody else can contribute their notes too, and we'll try to put everything together. Then
yeah.
We will post the resulting document under the agenda and invite anybody to take a look at them. And what we don't want, what we're kind of hoping is that those of you who are part of the conversation will look at them and document whether or not we've captured things or not,
mm-hmm.
but not really to invite everybody to start having the conversation all over again, because we really have to get this done.
Yeah, and
so
it's worth noting, too, that if folks feel strongly about something that we're going by quickly, there's the online form for individual feedback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. So we are capturing this in notes.
Yeah.
We will. Mark and I will try to. Well, anybody else who's taking notes should send them to us. We will. Mark and I will try to put these together and post them.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that next week is the Clean Pathway Review Camp, and we're going to be kind of busy. So we're going to have to try to get this together quickly, Mark, so because we need time for them to look at it, and these things have to be submitted by August 2nd, right?
Yep.
Right.
Okay, so grades 3 to 5, how do scientists predict weather, difference between weather and climate? I don't have any particular issues with this.
Actually, weather is the minute-by-minute. Maybe hour.
I would say minute
hour.
By minute, day to day.
Yeah.
I would give it a range rather than just say minute to minute.
Yeah.
And I think we should, you know, at areas average weather conditions, I think we need to be talking about this. This isn't the level of decades, not weeks. So.
I think that for both weather and climate, you need a time frame.
Yep. Yep.
It can't just be...
Well, I mean, technically speaking, weather only extends up to, you know, maybe 14 days, and then
yep.
we start to get into seasons. And
yep.
Well, that's why I would say that weather is minute-by-minute to day-to-day variable conditions.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, because storms can evolve in minutes, and that's weather, and
yep.
weather forecasts are for days.
And month by month and year by year.
And or season to season or whatever.
Season to season.
Yeah,
there's,
I mean,
no mention of seasonality.
Climatology is a 30-year averages, so...
Yep.
Yeah, but seasons are definitely part of climate processes, and they often
right.
get lost
well,
in
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. I think that climate has... There's, I mean, it's a 30-year average of September is a
yeah.
climatology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as a 30-year average of 2010.
Right.
Is local scale appropriate here?
Climate is a little bit larger scale than your local point.
But do we need local scale for weather?
Yeah.
Local scale is for weather, it can be a point.
Well, it is in there, local scale.
Yeah, I think that's all right, because the weather in one part of town can be really different from another part of town.
It's a little fudge, but
Okay. So grade 6 through 8.
Let me just recap here. Definition of climate should include time averages as well as area averages. We won't worry about the wording right now, but is that kind of what we're saying?
I would love to get seasons in there somehow or another. I don't
well,
know.
Yeah, that, all right. I'll note that too.
Yeah, not in here.
I think that how those conditions vary over the year is talking about seasons.
Well, that's my concern.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of specifying it.
Okay, we'll finesse that later.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot here in grade 6 through 8.
Do we have the same problem about sun in that first paragraph?
Yeah.
It should be actually sunlight.
Yeah, and there they capitalize it.
Yeah, but I'm wondering whether it still should be sunlight.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Yeah, it should be, because it's interactions. The sun doesn't directly interact.
Exactly.
Right.
Has anybody found where they actually focus on the reason for the seasons? Tilt of the axis. I haven't done that, but we should make sure that's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
It's certainly not in here.
Now, seasons is in core ID 1.
Okay.
It says the solar system and the universe.
On page 135.
Yep. And it does talk about the Earth's axis is tilted.
Okay, great. So let's not worry about that then.
Yeah, it.
Well, but it's in grades 9 through 12.
That's true.
Yeah, I thought that was
interesting. And, we've been doing it in grades 6 to 8 a lot.
Although the AAAS folks claim that it's not until high school that people really have enough understanding of the physics and geometry to really understand
it. Understanding of three-dimensional geometry is really important. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Well, it could be another topic, which is like, I don't know if this is getting a huge sidetrack here, but in phases of the moon, you can deal with it at different levels in grades 3 to 5 and 6 to 8.
Yeah.
Revisiting it at a higher level, basically. That's the nature of how this is set up.
But with the moon phases I've created, you can't just describe it to sixth graders, but you can model it with the students being the planets, the Earth and the moon and the sun, and really model it with a physical system that they can look at. Then they can get it.
Yeah. And that's a spatial thing. It works even at grade 4 a lot of times, but in relation to seasons, it could be that part of the seasons can, that some aspect of seasons that does belong in 6 to 8.
Yeah.
Maybe not a full understanding of the entire geometry of the solar system or whatever, or maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
I
get it.
I think that students observing the seasons, even starting at the elementary level, is potentially a really good way to help them get grounded in climate. But
because it makes them aware of those kinds of changes, even if they don't understand the reason of why it happened.
Yeah. So the big thing in the 8 that I want to focus on is the greenhouse effect, because this is where it's introduced. What is the greenhouse effect? Just, two lines down there at the bottom, and I'm not sure whether this does the trick or not. This is, again, at the middle school level. And it's not getting it at all into the Earth's energy balance. There's no discussion about...
The other thing that bothers me is that there's a natural greenhouse effect, and it doesn't...
Yeah, that's another misconception. A lot of the greenhouse is created by humans.
I thought it was in 912, but I'm looking now and I'm not sure if I see it.
This is the natural greenhouse effect.
Yeah.
Page 142. It's not getting into human causes at all.
Right.
Which is okay. Well, I think that's fine.
Yeah, but it's not saying that. And people hear about the greenhouse effect all the time with respect to human climate change, human-induced climate change. And so it just says, what is the greenhouse effect? And maybe it should say, what is the natural greenhouse effect?
Exactly. I think that's the way to do it.
What's the difference between natural greenhouse effect and human greenhouse effect? It's still the greenhouse effect.
Yeah, but you know,
this is a fundamental concept.
People think that the greenhouse effect only has to do with human caused change.
Yeah.
And they don't think that there's a greenhouse effect otherwise.
So maybe we say at the last line, without this natural phenomenon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. That gets part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the 912 level, again, there's a lot in here. How does climate change over space and time in response to both natural and man-made causes? So now they're starting to bring in, you know, anthropogenic change, and they're lumping climate different natural climate change and human climate change in here. And it does get a bit into the energy balance. What I don't see in here is the incoming shortwave or outgoing longer wave, which I think personally is a really important concept and is off missing.
The last paragraph in the
last paragraph.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of good.
All right. So it.
Looks like they've done a good job here.
Yeah.
So you're still on this paragraph about the greenhouse. What is the greenhouse effect?
And on page 143, looking at the, it's a continuation, but looking at grades 9-12.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Packed.
Yeah. Some others might argue that there's too much there.
Yeah, I'm sure some will.
Put all that in a 5 paragraph. It's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good question, though, I think. Is there anything here that, if it were removed, would be better removed than some of the other things?
It's okay. A related note, it's worth mentioning that within the design team there was some discussion about whether or not we wanted to talk directly about sustainability issues, and the message that we got back from the powers that be, and generally we did, from the NRC committee itself was, yes, you absolutely want to talk about sustainability issues.
But and that's a technology issue.
Yeah, and
social too.
It's social too, and there's a couple of the ones way down, core ideas, ET core idea number 3, and some of those do relate to sustainability and engineering design and so forth. But
I think
right here it's not really appropriate to focus on.
I think about the question: should we delete anything from this? I would vote not, because climate change is a fairly important topic in our time, and this amount of emphasis I think is appropriate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And
Scott, again, do we want to say anything about aerosols? I noticed clouds and volcanic ash. Do we want to actually broaden that to aerosols?
Yeah.
I would put
where
that.
Where is that,
in.
Scott?
Adding aerosols into what would be the fourth paragraph on page 143 under grades 9-10 or 9-12. So small increases in
aerosols. It was fourth paragraph, you said?
Yeah, small increases in atmospheric concentration.
Yeah, gotcha.
Other dot, wild clouds, aerosols, and volcanic ash, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
The problem
is
aerosol to that level, but I think it's important.
Yep. I'd agree.
Okay, and then there's some mention of, in the second paragraph, about the changes in Earth's orbit around the Sun and the tilt of the Earth's axis on rotation, which I guess opens the door to Milankovitch orbital cycling and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Even though they're not explicit here.
It's fine.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Anything else on this particular one? Should we move on to page 144, biogeology?
Okay.
And this is, life interact with Earth's other systems. You know, I think a lot of us are so used to Earth's system singular, and throughout this document they're talking about Earth's systems, plural.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I know that when early on when I was working on the Earth as a System chapter of the Globe Teacher's Guide, the question of whether it's Earth system science or whether it's plural was discussed a lot. And people have settled on Earth system science as opposed to Earth system science. I mean, so I don't know.
I didn't understand your statement because I couldn't tell the difference between systems and systems.
Okay.
Which word are you preferring, the plural or the singular?
Earth system science. I usually use the singular.
Yeah.
And I usually use plural because I always like to think of systems as many different systems, some nested within others. That it's a very complex...
No, that was an argument that I had with Dixon Butler years ago, and since he was chief scientist at the time, he got to decide. and so I've sort of tried to be consistent, but the putting Earth also with an apostrophe S seems a little odd to me, because I guess I would say Earth system science or Earth systems science. As a plural number of systems, but Earth with apostrophe S does seem odd to me. I don't think that it's necessarily wrong, but it seems odd.
Right. Well, it's certainly once you put up apostrophe S there, it sounds like there's an object, and then it has something that it is possessed by it, rather than being constituent of the Earth. That's my problem with it. It suggests some separation between the Earth and all the systems.
Right, so I don't actually like the way it's written here because I like the concept of systems within systems and not Earth other systems as if it's something we haven't considered yet. So, but I don't know how to rephrase that to...
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's the role of life in the Earth system? That's how I would do it.
Yeah, and just to go down to grade 6 through 8, they're jumping back into the geology again. How does life affect Earth's geology? Why aren't they talking about Earth's, you know, other Earth systems, including climate?
Yeah.
You know, especially the second paragraph about plants and microorganisms produced most of the oxygen in the atmosphere through photosynthesis. This is one of the few times that photosynthesis is really mentioned throughout the whole document, and it does tie into fossil fuels and the carbon cycle is alluded to, but not called out specifically here.
I guess the sub question: how does life interact with the other Earth systems? I mean, life is the biosphere.
Yeah,
and you might say. Well, I don't want to list them all, but...
Yeah.
They're clearly trying to reduce the terminology load, as Don said earlier, keeping simple wording. I like the distinction between grades 6 and 8 concentrating on more concrete, visible things, and grades 9, 10 focusing on the more abstract, less visibly observable things like climate and and larger time scales with evolution of life.
Although,
I just think that's appropriate age-wise.
But
I have a phrase for this sub-question I'd like to just put out there. Instead of how does life interact with the Earth's other systems, how about how does life influence the Earth system?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I like that even better than
our
promoting role of, but I the other.
And interact with?
It's implicit in influence?
No, the reason not to do that is it takes it out of the Earth system. I want it to be integral in the Earth system.
Well, an interesting implicit aspect of that sub-question as it is written is that it implies that life itself is a system by virtue of it says Earth's other systems.
Mm-hmm.
I had a problem with what is other, if Earth's other systems, what are they referring to? What systems are they comparing that to? The implied system that they're referring to is the system of life on Earth.
Yeah.
Ecosystems and whatnot. But it's, I don't have a huge problem with that.
Okay. So, Karen, did you have something? I haven't captured anything of what you were saying before that because I was writing that sentence. So, if you want to summarize, I can try to capture what you were saying.
Well, I've just noticed the distinction between grades 6 and 8 concentrating on the more observable things like geology and fossils and grades, then they leave to grades 9 and 12, the less visibly observable things like climate and the time span like evolution of life, the higher level, more abstract concepts.
I just feel like this section was written by a geologist. And in fact, in 6 through 8, they're talking about Earth's geology, but then they jump into how plants have influenced the atmosphere. So there's a disconnect there. I think it's not Earth's geology. It's the Earth system in general, including, more importantly, the atmosphere.
Yeah, I agree. How does life affect Earth's geology? Is it strange? I mean,
Earth systems. Earth should be just how does life affect Earth systems? Seems to me.
Yeah.
Folks,
and then,
I'm going to have to bail out. This is Alan. It's been a pleasure, though. It's a very interesting conversation. Very valuable. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks so much, Alan.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah.
Real helpful.
So we need to get rid of geology and find a good replacement from my point of view here.
Can it just be Earth systems or? Yeah.
I would say, how does life affect the Earth system?
Yeah.
Well, then they're actually asking the reciprocal of how does geology affect life, or in the other one, how does geology affect the evolution of life?
It's really the other systems.
Yeah.
That's really what they're talking
about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the other systems, right.
Mm-hmm.
So which one are we talking
about? Well, let's talk 6 through 8 first. How does... life.
That's what I have now. 6 through 8, I have said, how does life affect Earth's geology change? How does life affect the Earth system?
Right.
But the...
I think Karen's... Yeah. Go ahead, Karen. I was just going to say what you were going to say.
Yeah, it's really the other systems, not the ecosystem, but the Earth's other systems.
Or right. Do you want to say subsystems? Is that too daring? Is it subsystems?
Hi, it's Laura Tenenbaum. Hi.
Hi, Laura.
I just joined a couple minutes ago and I was listening. What about actually just listing the systems? Just listing them all. The atmosphere, the...
Atmosphere, hydrosphere, lithosphere.
Exactly. Just list them.
Okay, so how does life affect the atmosphere?
Next paragraph has its own list. In 6-8, on page 144.
What was the other one? How does life affect the atmosphere, hydrosphere?
Lithosphere.
Now, is that a term that people are comfortable for 6-8?
Like this wording better. It's more general, and it gets...
Well, yeah, they talk about...
The terminology load has to stay low.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. If we don't keep the terminology load low, we're going to have states going back to testing for terminology instead of testing for big ideas.
Yep. But geosphere, hydrosphere, and atmosphere are good, right?
Yes.
So we just need
geosphere,
to...
Yeah. I can take lithosphere to geosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
And then down below, how do these other systems affect life?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Isn't life capitalized? Maybe not.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so...
So the second question then is how do the geosphere, hydrosphere, and atmosphere affect life? Okay.
How do the atmosphere, hydrosphere, and geosphere affect life?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then grades 9 through 12, how does life affect Earth's climate? That's probably all right, huh? But the next one down, how has geology affected the evolution of life? That's way too confusing.
Yeah.
Because that's almost like, do you mean plate tectonics or what?
Yeah. that's a discipline bias there.
that is true. Because the first thing under it talks about temperatures, and temperature is not geology.
That's right.
Yeah. How do changes in the Earth systems affect
that's
the evolution
question.
Of life?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hi, Susan Van Gundy just joined very late in the game, but...
Hi.
Hi, Susan.
So, Susan, we are on page 144 of the document talking about specific questions right now, grades 9 through 12.
Great, thank you.
That's where we are.
Doing a little wordsmithing here. But they have like, consequences.
So how would you change, how has geology affected the evolution of life?
How have Earth systems affected the evolution of life? Or do we go back to
how have changes in the Earth system? Is that,
all right,
yeah,
like
there
that.
You go.
Good.
Okay.
And they get into mass extinction.
And then they put the E word in there. That's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's in there
yeah,
quite
I
a
really
bit.
I think there's a lot of good stuff in this document.
Yeah.
Yep.
Term that's good. Earth's history.
And we probably want to include that in our comment, too, that we're all impressed.
All right. So, let's see.
Hi.
Anything else on this? Again, people can, we'll put these notes up on the website, and if you have any additional input or the time we synthesize this all together, then, please add your comments. Should we move on to the next one, which would be 145, natural hazards? Again, this is, I think, a fairly quick one, but...
Well, I have a problem, this is Scott, in 910. I don't agree that geologic events affect civilization. I mean, they certainly do, but there are all kinds of other biological effects, degradation of, deforestation, desertification. There's all kinds of other processes that are there that are not necessarily geologic. They're definitely biologic and of human consequence.
I'm sorry, where are you again?
This is grades 9 through 12. How do geological events affect civilization?
I just kind of limited.
I agree. Geologic events is too narrow.
Yeah.
Didn't Don rewording that italicized sentence to how have changes in the Earth system affected the evolution of life?
Well, does it want to be civilization or the evolution of life? They are somewhat different.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is natural hazards, and so I would actually not put changes in the Earth system here if it's natural hazards. I would actually say that. How have natural hazards affected civilization?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
okay.
With what the description underneath it, that's the language used there.
So they're talking about substituting natural hazards.
Yeah, and I'm more comfortable with that than geologic events, which suggests to me something of a much bigger scale, volcanic action, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like earthquakes and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, earthquakes are a natural hazard.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
All of those things come under that category, but it includes geologic events, but it also includes hurricanes and tidal waves, which aren't geologic events.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Tidal waves, I guess, are produced by geologic events.
Yeah.
The reason I actually included this in our list is that there's mention of the last 10,000 years being unusually stable, and I know there's been some discussions about this before. It's in the essential principles of climate literacy, and they might have just pulled it directly out of there. You know, some people debate how stable that past 10,000 years has been. So the question is, do we want to try to change that or not?
Change it to what? You think there's something wrong with the way this is stated?
No.
How about relatively stable rather than unusually stable?
Right.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Much...
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me catch you. So,
yeah, unusual compared to what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Question.
Okay, so the last 10,000 years have been a relatively stable period. Is that?
Yeah.
And what did we settle on for the question for 9/12? Still...
How do natural hazards affect civilization?
Okay. What I'm pondering there is that the current question deals directly with events, and natural hazards are not necessarily events, although they're associated with events. And I'm wondering about natural catastrophes.
People usually lump together all these different kinds of events as natural hazards.
Right.
I don't think that that's confusing. I think that that's...
Okay.
Yeah.
I noted the sub-question up at the top of natural hazards. How do natural hazards affect humans? That's an overriding question for all grade bands. Do we have any problem in terms of what the term we're actually using for 9/12? But I'm not quite sure. It's getting awfully close to that.
I think that all the younger grades address people's individuals and moving it up to the level of civilization is probably appropriate.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, so we're still several pages away from global climate change, which we absolutely need to get to before the end of the day. So can
well,
we?
We have 40 minutes left. Why don't we jump to that now, and then if we have time, we can come back.
That sounds good. Page 149. And the ones in between there are mainly focused on natural resources, which are obviously are really important.
Yeah.
Actually, human impacts of Earth on page 148 that we should come back to if we can, because it does talk about...
If we're going to jump, let's just do it, and then we'll come back if we have time. And we can also do it offline, addressing those others.
Sure.
Right. So 149, global climate change... Sub-question, how will global climate change affect humans. So it's very anthrocentric, you could say.
Yep.
Climate change driven by both human and natural activities has large consequences for all of Earth's surface systems, including humans.
I would take the word surface out of there.
Yep.
Earth systems is good enough.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Where are we taking surface out? I missed.
SS4D, the larger description under sub-question.
Oh, yeah.
Page 149 in the orange box.
It may not affect the inner core of the Earth, but anyhow. Then it can take actions to reduce climate change and its impacts. That's taken right from the guiding principles of climate literacy. That's nice to see.
I did that.
Thank you, Don.
Interesting, they don't talk about global climate change at the K2 level, intentionally left blank.
I think there absolutely needs to be something there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think there should be a single K2 thing in any of these learning progressions that's left blank.
Yeah.
Yep.
What kind of things do you think are appropriate for K2?
I haven't picked apart the individual ones yet, but I mean, I think if we're really looking at core principles that underlie these, I mean, you look, for example, at the Atlas, and it might not be the underlying core principle that students need to master first might not be specific to global climate change, but maybe it's something about Earth systems that is underlying this.
Right.
But I think there are underlying concepts at the K2 level that they're going to have to know and understand before getting to these global climate change.
Okay, so basically, I agree. I think we should look at the Atlas and see what those under and beginning to begin to approach an understanding of Earth systems would be a great thing to start at that level.
Or maybe it's about
heat transfer, like that.
It'd be about heat transfer, which I think they talk about at the, or at least in a very basic way at the K2 level.
Heat transfer, I actually think that that's much higher level. I think understanding that there's just a connection of any kind between the different components is where we're going to start at K2.
Okay, so let's look at the strand maps or that sort of thing to see what grades 3 through 5, what will happen to life on Earth if temperatures continue to rise? You know, as we know, there's people that are really concerned about ecophobia and overwhelming kids with too much gloom and doom. So is this acceptable? You're talking about both positive and negative impacts.
It could be distorted disastrously.
Yeah. And then,
is this a place, I mean, I don't actually know because I, again, haven't read the whole document. Is there a place where solutions are incorporated? Or is where it would
a little
be?
Bit, yeah, towards the very end in
the engineering and technology stuff.
In technology, there's one called Generating and Evaluating Solutions, which is 759.
Here.
And then we talk a bit about it here on this page, grade 6 through 8, how can humans reduce climate change and minimize its negative impacts? And again, a lot of this seems to come, if directly or indirectly, from the essential principles. Yeah. Also 9 through 12 at the bottom there, what can be done to reduce global climate change and its negative impacts?
Well, maybe in the 3 through 5 level, including something along the lines of how people might adapt, I don't know. Just so that I agree, you don't want to just be all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
How about just something about how, you know, starting with education, I mean, even learning about it is a positive thing.
Yeah, but that's...
Or is that
too big? That's how you tell their parents.
Yeah.
I think it's too big.
to tell the kids in grade 3 through 5 that education is a great thing, that's more like raising the flag.
What would happen if in the grades 3 through 5 the word local were used somehow to focus on how in our state or in our area things have changed?
Local.
That might even be more scary.
Well, get real.
But that brings up, to me, one of the questions here is sort of the intention of the progressions, and I think I heard Dawn was on there, so maybe you could help me with this. Because it seems like there's mixed approaches across some of the different progressions. Some of them really are much more like the Atlas, where it's those core concepts and how the concepts build on each other, and really the way the different statements within the progression are written, it's really just kind of referencing those key, the concept sort of in a neutral way as building blocks, you know. And in others, it seems more like an outline for curriculum. As opposed, and I'm trying to express more clearly why I see there's a distinction. But I don't know, did you guys already go over that before I got on about the intention, what was the thinking behind how the progressions got scoped out?
No, I think that's a good question, Susan.
Yeah.
So, like, are they student learning progressions, or are they instructional progressions?
The idea is that these, what we're looking at right now, is the framework for a learning progression.
Which will be then someday transferred into standards, content standards.
Right, and I think fleshed out, there's an example learning progression at the beginning of Chapter 7 atomic and nuclear
matter.
Structure.
How about if we rephrase this thing for grades 3 through 5, so instead of what will happen to life if the temperatures continue to rise, what has happened to life from over the past century or in the past when changes in temperature have been large?
Huh?
I like
where
that.
That's less threatening, but it kind of gets at the same concept.
Sure.
I like that a lot.
And if there's a way, this maybe is not scientific, but giving a nod to the fact that people are adaptable, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really hard to know how to empower young people at that age without completely... you don't want to overwhelm them with the gloom and doom. At the same time,
I know, but the other piece of that is if you really do focus on how man evolved and from the ice ages,
right,
into a warmer climate, people adapted,
yeah. Right?
So that you can put it in that positive context.
Yeah.
Adaption.
Adaptable or adaption?
Well,
for a question, something like how does life adapt to changing climate or changing environments?
Well, if they still want to keep it, you can still keep it with temperatures.
Well,
yeah.
Let's talk for a minute about the whole adaptation phrase, because for a long time, in many environmental circles, you could not talk about adaptation, human adaptation, that is, because it meant that we've given up on trying to reduce our CO2 levels to 350 or whatever. But
we're not talking about future adaptation. We're talking about what we know from the historical and geologic record in terms of how people how life has adapted in the past. It doesn't even have to be totally focused on people.
Right.
My concern about the word adaptation and adapt goes back to the whole natural selection and evolutionary discussion in biological sciences, because that is such a major misconception for students. You know, the whole Lamarck giraffe's neck business. So I think we need to be really careful about how we use the word adapt.
Okay.
And people change what they do and how they live. And I think for grades 3 through 5 in this concept, I would rather use the words change.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I noticed that the term resiliency is on the ascendance, particularly like the NOAA strategic plan. Mm-hmm. Resiliency and versions thereof are throughout the document. You know, maybe we could start to plant the seeds of that concept here, which really doesn't appear in this document at all. Because that's one of the key things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about this phrase? The word change is in here twice, and I know that's not good, but leaving that for now, how has life changed in response to changes in the climate system in the past?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Is this, are you suggesting a second question under grades 3 through 5, Tamara?
I'm suggesting changing the question so that instead of focusing on what will happen to life if the temperatures continue to rise, to examine what has happened to life when there have been large changes in temperature. I mean, you could continue to focus on changes in temperature because there have been such. I mean, not quite as large as now, but the idea is still the same.
Right, and people can see how plants and animals go with the flow in terms of seasonal change, too.
Yep.
And you can even look, I mean, in addition to looking at the long, long ice age time scales, you can look at changes over the past 100 years, and it's still things that have happened in the past, not predicting what will happen in the future, but
right.
Kind of keep it grounded on what we know.
Yep.
So, changes in the Arctic, changes basically in the seasons, the phenology studies of the change of the growing season.
Right.
That's another piece to this.
Severe events, high temperatures in the summer, that kind of stuff.
Sounds good.
Now, in terms of the other grade 6 through 8 and 9 through 12, they tack on some ideas about how can humans reduce climate change and minimize its negative impacts. 6 through 8, I'm not so concerned as I am with 9 through 12, which only mentions modeling, and I think that's a problem.
Yeah.
we need to talk about maybe we don't use the term adaptation, but maybe some of the language from the guiding principle about reducing human vulnerability to the impacts of climate change, et cetera. So that needs some work, and it looks like they're squeezed for. But
yeah, well, they.
So which one are you looking at now? Is it grade 6 through 8, Mark?
9, 12.
What can be done to reduce climate change and its negative impacts? They basically
mentioned
models.
At a basic. We're talking about measurements of greenhouse gas emissions. We certainly should say that is greenhouse gas emissions are largely determined by energy use. Got to bring energy into this.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Energy, transportation, whatever. You can spell that out if you want.
Yeah, it would also, I think, be good to step it up to beyond the individual and think about the... governments changing their. As somebody forwarded along recently, the U.S. military is the largest user of fossil fuels in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Which, of course, we can't say. We probably can't get away with saying that, but we can hint at it.
Yeah. Energy use by choice.
So, Mark, so. Yeah, all right. So we want to, basically, I just have notes here that say that the focus only on climate models is not good, and we should bring energy into the discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And let's take a closer look at the guiding principle for informed climate decision, because that could really come into play in both grades 6 through 8 and 9 through 12.
Uh-huh.
It's something along the lines of without looking at that, which is what we should do, but something along the lines of reduced energy use and fossil fuel consumption amongst individuals, institutions, and governments or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last of the guiding principles talks about actions taken by individuals, communities, states, and countries all influence climate,
mm-hmm.
et cetera. So that's putting mm-hmm. it in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Towards reducing the impact, et cetera. May, yeah, it also, yeah. So why don't we...
Well, I like the intergenerational stuff, but perhaps
yeah.
that's appropriate for here, but it's really part of it.
Well, it certainly fits here. I mean, this is the one place in the whole document that specifically calls out global climate change.
Right. So we definitely want to put our energy awareness element into this and solutions.
Yeah.
That'll be a place for this. Again, sort of from a political perspective, we want to have a place for these standards to use the kind of, well, the clean collection of resources. There would be a natural place for those resources to be used in the curriculum, to be very pragmatic about this.
Yeah.
Without that placeholder, it will not have the impact we want it to have.
So we've got about 20 minutes left here,
sure.
And then some of us have another meeting. So we obviously need to do some more work on this one. And
yeah.
why don't we do the rest of that offline, but we've got other pages that focus on energy transfer, energy and life, you know, pages.
All right, Mark, why don't you start at beginning of the ones that we skipped, and we'll go as far as we can.
Yeah.
So let's go backwards one page to human impacts on the Earth.
148?
Yeah, 738. Page 148. The core idea: human activities are constrained by and in turn affect all other processes on Earth's surface. So again,
say all of the processes in the Earth system.
Yeah.
Right.
Human impacts on Earth. Sub-question: how do humans change the Earth?
Yeah, and then under that it says humans become one of the most significant agents of geologic change at Earth's surface. So it's not really exclusively the surface, and it's not exclusively geologic change either.
Exactly. It's clearly biologic.
Yeah, just drop the words geologic and surface in apostrophe S.
Right. That's all. Really constrained here.
This is in the orange box?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just unpat now.
geologic
and apostrophe S surface.
Yep.
Okay.
And I guess the at too, right?
Yeah. On Earth or over across the Earth or throughout the Earth or something. Around the Earth.
Humans have become one of us.
On Earth.
On Earth.
On, no, on probably not right either.
The activities that have built human civilizations have positive and negative consequences related to the sustainability of these civilizations. So this is one that really does focus a lot on sustainability.
Yep.
Starting at K2, how can humans protect Earth's resources and environments? Moving on through talking about pollution, primarily in 3 to 5. And pollution is hardly mentioned at all in this whole document. This is one of the places it seems to pop up.
I'm looking back now at my earlier draft because I did some of the stuff on this idea, and my original question was, how do humans change the Earth? And it got mm-hmm. changed to, oh, it still is. I don't know why. What was I looking at? Never mind.
That's a good question. On the part where it says about, in the orange box, negative consequences related to the sustainability of these civilizations, I think it should also say these civilizations and other life, too, because it's not just having effect on human civilization,
sure.
It has effect on you know, animals and plants also. So yes to human civilizations, but yes to other life too.
Yeah, and I had initially wanted this idea, this core idea, to be about life, the life Earth system interaction or something like that, and was very much pushed to it being more human focused.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it does, one of the things that it seems... Oh, never mind. I was just reading it wrong.
Then it should be humans' impacts on humans.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was sarcastic, but...
how about the sustainability of civilization and the ecosystems we depend on or something?
We are interdependent with or something.
Yeah, interdependent with, that's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a very
I like that. So somebody want to say that sentence again?
All right, so I have, let's see, I have just pieces of it. Humans have become one of the most significant agents of change in the Earth system. These activities have built human civilizations, have both positive and negative consequences related to the sustainability of these civilizations and the ecosystems we are interdependent with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's really better what we have. It's good.
So K2 just focusing on the idea of stewardship, recycling, that sort of
reduction
thing.
Of use.
Yeah.
Start them young, baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
3 to 5. Looking more specifically at the different types of human activities. And the idea that small changes in individual and societal activities can significantly reduce pollution, so it's really pollution-focused. And 6 through 8, human activities alter the Earth, extraction, fossil fuels, etc. And then the big question, can humans exist sustainably and definitely on the Earth?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big question.
I want to go back to grades 3 through 5 because it seems to me an idea that's missing there is cumulative impact of if everybody did this or if everybody reduced this much.
Like a scale thing.
Yeah, because that idea is core to the idea of pollution, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wasn't one of the main things, I can't remember what it was called, but it talked about scale.
Yeah, and the cross-cutting elements, yeah.
Yeah, the cross-cutting element, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which was one of the really, I don't know, things that I thought was the most attractive about this new...
Yeah,
new
chapter
standard.
4 is 3.
Yeah.
This is Susan. I'm going to drop off so I can burn some fossil fuels and go over to meet with Mark. But thanks for letting me drop in for this little bit.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the work you're doing.
We'll make her pay back.
I'm wondering if a qualifier could be added at the end of modest changes in individual and societal activities can significantly reduce pollution if done by lots of people.
So this is the last sentence of grades 3 through 5?
Well, what about something that actually uses the word scale and, you know, talk about small changes have a large effect or something.
Right. That's what you're trying to get
when many people do something, it can lead to a big impact.
Yes.
And negative or positive, yeah.
You can say modest changes in individual and societal activities broadly implemented can significantly reduce pollution.
It relates not only to the last sentence, but it relates to the first sentence, and I think it needs to be a standalone idea that relates to both of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That both when many people contribute small amounts or do something relatively small, it can lead to a big impact, as
right.
somebody said, either positive or negative.
Mm-hmm. Because of the interaction.
Yes, the modest changes in individual society activities can either reduce or increase pollution, depending on what the change is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to get both sides.
Yep.
Yeah. A little wordsmithing there.
So, does it now read something
How
like
about modest changes in individuals added together? You know, small or modest changes in individuals when combined together as societies can... Or, you know, something like that.
I think having the descriptive phrase, so I have modest change in individual and societal activities broadly implemented or adopted by many can significantly impact solutions, either positive or negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Or practiced by many.
Ooh.
Practiced by many. I can do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay, grades 6 through 8, I'm not, they all seem okay, not much in the way of trying to encourage sustainable practices necessarily, because they're focused more on what the activities do, extraction, burning fossil fuels, altering this and that. But that, I guess that's the question, how do human activities alter the Earth?
Right.
So it seems to me, certainly at the 6th to 8th grade level, you ought to be having some solutions there, too.
Right.
So why don't we take a look at some of the guiding principles and see what might be appropriate at middle school level. I'm still hung up on, can humans exist sustainably and indefinitely on Earth? To me, that's completely loaded. Indefinitely, that means forever and ever.
Yeah.
Which sentence is this, Mark?
9 through 12.
Oh,
grade
9 through 12.
Can humans exist sustainably indefinitely?
Indefinitely is bizarre.
How about, can humans exist sustainably on Earth?
Yeah.
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 How can?
And again, it starts off with a bunch of negatives about human populations,
right?
Responsible management of natural resources, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
The new technologies. There's no real specific mention of energy until the very end, where they're talking about alternative energy sources. But I don't know. This is kind of lackluster in my mind.
As human populations and per capita consumption of natural resources and energy, or is that too redundant? I mean, I think of natural resources as the matter as opposed
right.
to the energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should
Which
have
paragraph
energy.
Are you in?
Yeah, I put energy in there.
Which paragraph are you in?
First... after the italics, under grades 9 through 12.
Okay.
A second sentence. As human populations and per capita consumption of natural resources and energy increase.
Or energy consumption.
Yeah, energy consumption and natural resource consumption.
Mm. Oh, yeah, okay, there we go. Right, because it is consumption of natural resources and energy.
And energy.
Yeah.
So I have as human populations and per capita consumption and energy consumption, or I...
Natural resource energy.
Right. Say that again?
Natural resources
and energy?
We're just adding and energy.
Per capita consumption of natural resources and energy increase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I would not change rates. I change rates to rate. So does the rate of our impact on Earth.
Good.
Yeah.
It's weird to say rates.
Yeah, I think it says rates with the idea that different impacts, different things are moving at different rates.
But so how did you want to change that?
So does the rate
of our impact one singular?
Yep.
You get all singular.
Okay.
And I, in the next paragraph, I'd do the same thing: responsible management of natural resources and energy.
Yeah. And some will argue, of course, that energy is a natural resource, and
right.
But I like it being pulled out explicitly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
To me, what's lacking in this. This box here is something that's really something that is motivating and proactive. Maybe we don't use the word adaptation, but something that points to the idea of building resilient communities and that sort of thing.
Yep, transportation.
Yeah, maybe that the last sentence could be moved up and include what Mark just said. You know, make it a two sentences and just one and move it higher in the paragraph.
What was your phrase, Mark?
I think I need to think it through in more detail, but the idea of building resilient communities, and being prepared for changes that are already happening, basically. I mean, personally, one of my issues, the whole concept of sustainability, is that it tends to get watered down to be just a little recycling here and a little feel-good.
Right. You want to get the idea of land use, transportation planning, and obviously based on consumption. You really want to bring those major things in.
Yeah, and I would strongly advocate that it say conservation of and use of alternate energy sources, because there's a total disconnect between if we just convert to alternate energy, the problem is solved.
Right.
You have to explicitly add in conservation of energy.
And efficiency. Also add efficiency. Conservation and efficiency are different.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
And Mark, you're really talking about like rethinking the way our civilization is, and the word building human civilization is in that orange box at the top, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the question being something along the lines of how can civilization be made more resilient in the face of Earth system change?
Ah.
That's good.
Like it.
Well, and
say that phrase again.
How can civilization be made more resilient in the face of Earth system change?
Resilient, but also
changes in the Earth system, I think I like better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't even like civilization. I'd prefer society or something.
Society
works, yeah.
And do we also want to include other natural habitats?
Yeah.
My concern is that this gets really human focused,
I do, but my guess is based on what happened previously, though, so take it out again. Well, that's okay. We can
put
I agree.
Okay, so how can society and what?
Well, it's up to society to, become more resilient and protect
The sentence I have is, how can society be made more resilient in the face of changes in the Earth system? And we want to broaden society a bit. So the question was, what do we want to add to that?
Well, maybe individuals in society. I don't know.
I think we wanted to be broader than that. I mean, before we added the phrase, something about the ecosystems we're dependent on or interrelated with.
That's what I'd like.
Well, you could say coexist instead of just exist.
How about how can societies and the ecosystems upon which
we depend be made more resilient.
Okay.
Definitely getting there.
That's good.
How can society and the ecosystem on which we depend be made more resilient in the face of change in the Earth system?
Yeah.
Is the implication that humans can change ecosystems? I mean, can make ecosystems resilient?
Oh, yes, we can.
Sure.
So?
Give me an example of what you're thinking.
Wetlands restoration?
Oh.
Yep. Water flow, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this is to replace which sentence I need to...
This is to replace the question in grades 9-12.
Yes.
To add a question, right? Or to replace?
I was thinking to replace.
Yeah.
Question, I thought we were up in the orange box.
Oh, were we?
Sorry.
So
I just mentioned the orange box because I wanted to relate the sentence that we were talking about to the issues in the orange box.
Yeah. But I think this is about 9-12.
All right, well, so now I'm confused because we had a sentence for the beginning of grades 9-12, and that was, how can humans exist sustainably on Earth?
Yeah, I was trying to suggest a change to that.
To that.
But maybe it makes
to
more
that
sense
or to the orange box.
To the orange box.
Oh.
I don't know.
All right, so we leave that statement for 9-12, and this is orange box.
Ah, okay. Well, it gives it bigger prominence, and that's good.
Yeah.
And this is the question, or it's the clarifying thing under it?
The clarifying thing.
Yeah, the sub-question.
Okay, I'm going to move that up to...
Yeah. That's
maybe this was phrased as a question. I think it was a question.
Well, now
how do you change the Earth was the question, and then I talked before about changing text up in the orange box, and so this is basically a different statement than what we had talked about before. But I can put both of them there. And then we can talk about it some more.
So later. What's the question? What's the sentence that you just that we've all just crafted and Tamara wrote down?
How can society and the ecosystem on which we depend be made more resilient in the face of change in the Earth system?
Yeah, so that's a question.
Right.
So it should either unless we change the wording of it, it should either replace the sub question in the orange box or the question in grades 9-12.
And then what we did was we changed the statement underneath the question to, I have to do this right now, humans have become one of the most significant agents of change in the Earth's system. The activities that have built human civilizations have both positive and negative consequences related to the sustainability of these civilizations and the ecosystems we are interdependent with.
Yeah.
And that's why that improved sentence makes much more sense.
So
we should have this sentence instead of the shorter sentence we originally put.
Or it's a change in how do humans change the Earth, the sub-question.
Yeah, so we've replaced that sub-question with the question we just spent a bunch of time on.
Yeah, yeah.
So listen, we're basically out of time here. Just to...
Good though.
Back, the core idea right before this, human activities are constrained by and in turn affect all of the processes in the Earth's surface, obviously relates to this one. And so those of you who have time should take a look at that. That's 736 on page 146. And then also, as I indicated in my notes, starting on page 157, and then scattered through all the way down to 172, there's several pages on energy that if we have time we should absolutely take a look at, and wave properties, electromagnetic radiation, Earth's energy balance, and so forth. But probably most relevant to this idea, this discussion of sustainability and solutions, page 169, Generating and Evaluating Solutions, which is focused on engineering types.
Starting on page 169?
Yeah. It's 7-59. And then also, I really liked page 172, which is 7-62, talking about life cycles and life cycle analysis and that sort of thing, which frankly would fit into this page we were just looking at in terms of looking at solutions and things that people can do to be more sustainable and understand the, you know, the energy that's embedded in a product or what really goes on in trying to recycle a particular product and that sort of thing.
So, okay, well, we'll have to continue this. Mark, you and I should talk about integrating. Does anybody else have notes that they want to send to us? Okay, so Mark, you and I have most of the notes. So we should talk about how to move forward here. Okay, but I do have to leave now, so.
You. So.
Very good.
We made some good progress, and if anybody can look back at those chapters 3 and 4 in particular, based on what we've talked about here, and see, are there some of those core ideas that just are not well represented, that would be really, really helpful.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
That's
it. Thank you. Nice to talk to you guys.
Yep, you too. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Next week, I'll be in at a teacher workshop. So.
Okay, well,
is there a call next week?
We'll be busy, too.
Actually, we should talk about that, because Mark and I are going to be involved in the review camp, and we won't be able to be on the call. So will Scott.
Yeah, Scott.
So, and John, you won't be available either?
Yeah, I won't be available either.
Vacation.
Well,
yeah, sounds like vacation.
Okay, somebody might just facilitate the call, whoever wants to be on, but we won't have a particular agenda next week.
Yeah.
Great.
I'll talk to somebody and see if I can find somebody to do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks, all.
Thanks to
Thanks
everyone.
A lot.
Great. Bye now.
Bye.